The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I figured that he got hit. Really didn't know that he got hit. There's 12 bodies around him. Very, very difficult from the 50-yard line where I'm standing to see if he even got hit. With benefit of the video, which I do not have benefit of any video, there's no video on the sideline. All there are tablets. There's no video. There's nothing like that. With benefit of seeing the video, obviously, from my standpoint, the care for the player, I would have never let that player back in the game, and I don't believe that Jeff Kaplan would have allowed that player back in the game.
All right, there's Bill O'Brien yesterday. He had a 9 a.m. press conference, which at normally 11,
when they moved it up. When I saw transcript come out, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then on the transcript, it's about half a page.
Of this first question. Okay, oh, it wasn't even a question.
First of all, let me say this about Tom Savage and this video. I'm like, oh.
Well, here's Bill's mind. Problem with all of this is that, you know, he's pretty much, he said, well, no, you're not taking full responsibility. You're actually trying to clear your name here. And you're trying to put it on the independent neurosurgeon that is on the sideline with the team that's apparently paid by the NFL and has no affiliation with the team. But there's a lot of issues here. And the Texans, and the reason that he's so adamant about the Texans and them not being complicit in this is that they could lose draft picks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they can get hammered for this.
Hammered.
Yeah.
And because if you don't follow the concussion protocol. One thing about this, and that we have to, first of all, I agree with him in that why is it that the NFL has a neurosurgeon, a doctor who has no affiliation, no bias to the team on the sideline, and he's not seeing this, and he's not taking care of business? How can you blame the team when there is an independent doctor on the sideline? I agree with him there, but I'm not. How independent is this guy?
Well, from what I understand, these doctors are the same ones every single week. So when you're the same one every single week, you know there is a
familiarity.
I don't want to say relationship, but definitely familiarity. So if you start having beef with the team or whatever, it gets to be uncomfortable. They need to rotate. They should rotate these guys.
Yes.
Semi-regularly, almost like officiating crews.
Right.
Just rotate them in.
Well, but the problem is then you have to, is as opposed to being a hometown guy, you have to fly guys around the country. But if this doesn't work and these guys are not being independent and not unbiased, then you're going to have to change the way you're doing business.
Well, because the thought's always been that, you know, NFL teams and especially NFL players will do whatever it takes to get in. They'll lie about their situation. They'll cover stuff up, things like that. That's why you have to protect them against themselves, them meaning players and in some cases teams. And there's a concern that team doctors, you know, wasn't it the Saints had something going on? The Saints doctor was incompetent. They ended up firing the Saints doctor, but 2 years ago, I think. But that's a concern here, is that you might have a situation in place. And Bill O'Brien talked about, I have heard that there is video available on the sidelines. Maybe Bill O'Brien didn't see it, but I've heard from someone in the know that there is video, absolutely video on the sidelines for specifically this instance, and it's available. If Bill O'Brien wanted to see it, he could
through
go
that
see it.
Doctor, more than likely. He has the ability to see it.
I don't know who has it, but somebody who needs to have it has it. I've heard that they can see it in the press box. They can see it on the sideline. So that this is available to them. If he says it's not available, that's according to this guy, incorrect. Now,
whether or not, wait a minute, available is one thing, or the other thing is, did you ask for it? Did you want to see it?
Right.
Available, yeah, okay. I do believe this, that Bill O'Brien didn't see Tom Savage shaking.
I think that's very possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because anyone who saw Tom Savage shaking would say, dude, you can't. And my question, how did no one on that sideline say, whoa, 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 guys, we're going to look really bad here. Did anyone see Tom Savage shaking there? Are you telling me that no one?
Well, here's the
none
thing.
Of those doctors that
it's
are on
easy
the sideline?
For us because we're watching on television.
Right.
In real life, you're following the flight of the ball. And I, so.
No, however, I was on that sideline for 5 years, dude.
Yeah.
You can just look up. It's, I mean, for replays. I mean, you can look up easily and see stuff.
You think they would have showed that on replay? His like the still shot of his cam.
I don't know.
Somebody would have tweeted at us or called us that we were there and you could see it on the big screen. Like if they
right,
showed
right,
that, because
right.
You know their broadcast in house is different than the TV broadcast.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
But with that said, it doesn't matter. The TV broadcast is there for media members. It's there for. It's in the press box for sure. And I, like I said, I was told it's on the sideline.
Yeah.
This is an NFL deal where the NFL teams have stuff on the sideline.
The question being here, is Bill O'Brien, is he culpable here? And what does this mean for his job? You don't think he's coming back anyway. Asked yesterday, do you want to be back here? His answer was yes. I have another year
I've
on
got
my contract.
You're on my contract?
Yeah. I want to be here. I like the city, and I like coaching this team. That was his answer yesterday.
I don't think it's his choice. And like I said, I've heard Frank Reich. I brought that up yesterday. Frank Reich supposedly, according to one source in the league, I didn't bring this up. It just came to me. I didn't even ask about it. Just said, hey, I heard the what's up with Bill O'Brien. I'm like, oh. I mean, I don't think he's going to be back. That's my personal thought. He goes, yeah, I hear they're digging around on Frank Reich. I'm like, really? Frank Reich? I had to look up. I didn't even know where he was. I said, where is Frank Reich? And then he's the OC for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you think, okay, that might make some sense because it's Carson Wentz's guy.
Well, yeah. Well,
but not as an OC because you can't make that lateral move. This would have to be as a head coach.
Right. Well, that's all fine and good. He was a great OC right up until Sunday.
Yeah. We'll see how good he is now.
That's right. We'll see how good he is with Nick Foles now. I'm not. Are you counting all these losses? Are you putting this on Bill O'Brien? I'm certainly not.
But I thought he was gone before the season started.
Yeah.
So I mean, to me, this was almost irrelevant. I thought that in anything short of a solid playoff performance, I thought Bill O'Brien was going to be gone. Because
really, even if Deshaun had played all this time and they'd won football games and they got to put it together and they were playing right now.
Well, clearly
competing for the.
I didn't see Deshaun averaging 34 a game, whatever, before the season started.
Right.
Clearly, Deshaun averaged 34 a game. They went 3-3 during that time. Should have gone 5-1. Should have gone 5-1. Realistically, but I don't think you know. Is Bill O'Brien, is Deshaun literally just a robot and Bill O'Brien has driven him the whole way? I think that's doing a disservice to Deshaun Watson as a talent. I think Deshaun Watson is a very special talent. I think Bill O'Brien is a good offensive mind. You know, there have been questions about his clock management and end of game play calling and whatever you want to say, but game management in general. But I don't think he's the only guy that could coach Deshaun Watson. And that's why I think at the end of the day, Rick Smith and Bob McNair and maybe Cal McNair, if he ends up taking over, which I also think is a possibility because of health reasons and a little bit of controversy this year. I think that group may say, you know what, Bill, you did well with Deshaun, but we think Deshaun's a pretty special talent. Anyway, that's why we drafted him. And we're going to go find another offensive mind, a guy who's maybe worked with, you know, maybe a guy who's worked with Carson Wentz and has Carson Wentz in position to be an MVP in year two. We're gonna go work with that guy and see about having him as coach
but
to work
if
with Deshaun.
If you were to objectively grade what Bill O'Brien did, despite the 3-3,
I think he's done good.
He was unbelievable.
No, I think Bill O'Brien has done a good job. There's a lot of people in Houston who just want him fired because they want him done. And yeah, you can point to, you know, you can question New England and Seattle. That's fine. I didn't have as big a problem with New England. My problem was, why didn't you run Deontay Foreman instead of Lamar Miller?
Yeah.
You know, or why didn't you run Deshaun?
Deshaun?
Yeah. Why didn't you do that?
Why?
I had that.
Yeah.
I didn't have as big a problem with him punt or no. What did they do? They kicked the field goal. I didn't have as big a problem with them taking a field goal because then it turned into a must-have touchdown situation, if you can remember that far back in the season.
I can remember that far back. And you gave Tom Brady time and you told him he had to score a touchdown.
Somebody,
and quite frankly,
I don't remember who it was, busted And like,
oh, people wait a minute, that was like the fourth bust that game.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's right. And then the same bust happened.
It was Cunningham
against Seattle.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was Zach Cunningham busting against Seattle, right? I think if I remember correctly, it wasn't J. Joe or Kareem. It may have been Kevin. No, it was a safety bust against New England, I think.
Well, you heard that story that they came to the sidelines, and it was one of the safeties. I think Hal, was it Hal or Gilchrist? Which one was it that told J. Joe on the sideline, okay, the next time they pulled that, we're going to sit on a trap? But they're doing it on the New England sideline.
Oh, you know what? That's right. It was J. Joe. So there was a video where Tom Brady talked about that was...
Yeah, Bill O'Brien talked about... Bill Belichick talked about it on
Belichick,
his radio
that's
show.
That's right. Yeah, Belichick talked about...
The next day that he's telling J. Joe on the New
next
England
time
sideline...
we're going to cover this.
And the OC...
He said it too close to the sideline, and they're like, okay, guys, okay. Let's put this in our back pocket. That? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Brain surgery.
Hey, let's get Josh in here. Josh was at the game on Sunday. He was one of the 30,000. What's going on, Josh? How you doing?
Hey, guys. I was at the game, and the NFL does have a video replay that sits on the home team side that there's an injury guy that's watching it the whole entire time. And he watches every single play because being, two, three rows up, you can see he looks at a box. It's a black toolbox looking thing with antennas sticking up top. And he watches every single hit and every single play.
How does that, I don't know a lot about concussions, but I know what the telltale signs are for teams to check up on it. And they did, look, the Texans did check up on them. Let's not act like they missed it. They checked up on them. The question is, how did he get back in the game?
And another thing, that ref that was standing behind and saw Tom Savage and is looking, standing there looking at him. I mean, does he not say, wait a minute, you can't put this dude back in the game? I just saw him shaking. I'm sorry, you cannot put him back in the game. So I'm going to make this call on my own. Because he was standing over him. In that video, you see the ref standing over him, looking at him, going, oh, my God. I mean, so everybody... I believe Bill O'Brien that he didn't know that he was shaking on the sideline. I believe him.
Thanks for calling, Josh.
We appreciate it. And I know players are want to get back in the game. It's a tough job. Whatever this is, this job is a tough job because you got players that are telling you, I'm okay. I'm answering all your questions and I'm okay. And then you see him spitting up blood. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, listen, dude, you're going to have to go sit down.
Hey, is that blood? Are you my Huckleberry?
Yeah.
What was his name? Doc?
Doc Holliday.
It was Doc Holliday who had tuberculosis. You know what?
Yeah. It's all he needed was some more testosterone, I think.
I mean, it was tough to... Well, actually, it wasn't tough to find out in the old Wild West. I'll tell you that much. That was not a problem at all. Men's T Clinic will make sure that you get fixed up. Here's the thing. If your testosterone level drops and... I didn't realize that was a genetic issue. You can have that as you get older, and it's really not that uncommon, frankly. It's more than 33% now. Men suffer from that. I found out my levels, though, and here's how. I was speaking for them, and I hadn't used the product, but I'd done my research on them, looked into it. I was like, I really like the way these guys operate. They said, why don't we test you? And I said, you're always talking about how tired you are on the radio. I'm like, yeah, it's because I wake up so early. But I was also doing the NFL draft stuff. And they said, well, let's get you tested out. My number was low, way lower than it should have been. I got a treatment that day. He said, in 3 days, you'll feel an energy boost that's really going to start to carry you through your days. Absolutely 100% correct. Within a month and a half, I started to see a lot of weight come off as well. Body type changed, my workouts. It really, frankly, energized me to work out more aggressively. That is what Men's T Clinic can do for you. Get you back to being the real you. Not get back to being the old you. It's the real you. Get your testosterone levels back to where they should be. Burn that belly fat. Make sure that you have that energy level and just experience life the way that you're supposed to. You can contact them at 713-568-1175. They're going to be open in about 45 minutes. 713-568-1175. Or go to mensteclinic.com. 1801 Durham. Near I-10, and then, of course, you can go to Cypress location as well. It's MensTClinic.com.
Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Del. I appreciate everybody who sent in money yesterday for my fund. For
Tylenol.
My Tylenol fund.
We weren't sure you could handle the cost by yourself, so myself for Hill started an impromptu drive on Granado Hill's Dell. And people responded, and it brought tears to my eyes. People were crying on the phone, just wanting you to get better, and just donating cents at a time. 5 cents here, 10 cents. And Mr. Gal promised to match any donation. So that was great by Mr. Gal.
That was.
What'd the numbers come in at?
About $5.50. Me and Raheel split the extra 60 cents because Tylenol is like $4.99.
Okay,
so you two split the extra 60 cents.
About 50 cents.
So where the hell's my Tylenol?
We're supposed to. Well, I mean, much like JJ Watt.
JJ actually gave the money, I think, to somebody.
You say that? I don't know where that money went.
I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, how about the Rockets? Holy crap!
So the Rockets are down 13 in the fourth. Chris Paul. This was one of the incredible box scores you're going to see. If you watch the game, then you know. If you didn't watch the game, then you really just need to go see a box score. Clint Capella yesterday with 26 points. This is against Boogie Cousins,
against
by
Boogie.
The way. Yeah. You have James Harden had, 26 and 17. He had 17 assists. Chris Paul had 20, but like took over in the fourth quarter. Eric Gordon had, I think, 20-something off the bench. Like, this was this truly showed what the Rockets really, truly can flip a switch. Yeah. Like, if they want, they can just go flip and they take over down. I remember, Del, what was it? You were telling, was it last week or yesterday? You were talking about the fact that when you watch games, it was last week that you kind of gave up on the Rockets at one point.
It was
when they
yesterday. I mean, we were talking about what happened over the weekend against Portland.
Yeah.
I had it on a screen on my laptop watching the game, and I think they were down by 10 at some point. And I was in the fourth quarter. I was like, okay, I'm out of here. I just flipped the tab and went to another tab. I flipped back, and they're up by 5 with about 3 minutes to go.
The Rockets, 10 points is a joke. They can make that up easily.
Nothing.
It's really 13-14 really is not that big a deal. Now, last year, a 13-point lead wasn't that big a deal if they had it also. That's right. The problem. But this year, they're defending better yesterday, notwithstanding. But, man, this team, and oh, looky here, Oklahoma City Thunder, the headline now is Thunder searching for answers after another loss. It's got to stop. You just added a stat patter in Carmelo with Crazy Russell, and you don't have a good team. You just have a collection of guys.
Well, and I think that's the thing. Every one of these, it took Miami a while. It took Cleveland a little while. It took Golden State a little time to assimilate. It's taken forever for Russell to assimilate here with two stars.
Here's the problem. I don't think he'll ever fully assimilate any. It's just he knows only one way to play basketball. And Carmelo is just a meatball guy also.
Well, and this is the thing about James and Chris Paul. They've won 10 games that Chris Paul's been on the floor.
11 now.
They're 10-0.
They're 11-0.
This is 10. This is 10.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, this is 10.
We had this 10 straight win, yes.
Yeah, this is 10. It's unbelievable that there has been no time that these guys have been that it's taken for these guys to come together. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable that they have played this well together. Especially
think about it though. Think about it.
Especially two guys though. That have always, well, the big problem when Chris Paul was when it was announced that Chris Paul was coming. Oh, well, both these guys need the ball.
Yeah, I was one of the ones who said it. It concerned me a lot, although you do feel like, well, they'll figure something out, but then how is it really going to, like when it's clutch time, who gets it? Here's the thing. Chris Paul is a distributor by nature. He is one of the last of the true point guards. Like, he truly runs the team. He's the alpha. Like, that's the dude. This guy, he feels like an old school point guard. James Harden is, we're talking about a league leader in assists. I mean, we know he can distribute, and we know he's willing to share the ball. We know he was a willing third wheel with Russell and KD. So James can fit in with other people. James is a pretty good team player. He's just also a scorer, and he's good at scoring. Chris Paul, we know, can play with other stars. He did it with the Clippers.
Well, but Russell Westbrook averaged triple-double. Yeah, so wait a minute. So how come he can't assimilate?
Because Russell, he averaged triple-double because he was trying to get triple-doubles. Russell is not a share. If the game, he trusts his teammates 0%.
Well, trust Paul George?
I don't think it's in his nature. I think he's literally crazy. When I call him Crazy Russell, I think he literally is
KD
not.
KD got that, his when he was there. I mean,
then they had to break up.
Well, yeah, because
KD's soft. That's why they had to break up.
Well, plus he didn't want to.
No, because
get shanked by Crazy Russ.
Nah, KD's soft. That's why they broke up. But KD's got his attitude on the court. I'm gonna fight you. KD moved to
maybe he didn't like Russell's alternate lifestyle.
I don't know why you bring that up. You crowbarring that in. But KD went to a place where it was easier to win, and he got himself his title, even though he was part of the reason they didn't win a title up 3-1. I don't know what the deal is there. I watched a couple of their games, and it just seems awkward. There's no real flow. Maybe it's Billy Donovan. Maybe Billy Donovan's the problem.
No, you can't. It's really simple. You can't. Russell Westbrook is not somebody who assimilates well. He needs to be the lead shark with a bunch of guppies around
him. That's fine.
It's just what he has to be.
Paul George doesn't need to be the star of the show. I mean, I wouldn't want Paul George.
So what you're saying is Russell was okay with last year. MVP. Didn't do anything in a day. They lost in the first round of the playoffs, but he was the star. So that's all okay.
Is. Well, look, is it any different than people you know in your life? People have certain they have certain personalities, and I think Russell's personality is lead dog alpha, and he trusts himself, but he doesn't really trust others. You know, Dream used to be like that too, a long time ago in his career, and then he started trusting teammates, and they won titles. James trusts his teammates. He has, to me, better teammates clearly, but one thing I never worried about was James can play with other people. Now, if you added Carmelo, I never liked this because Carmelo would have added another score. Scoring is not your problem. You don't have a problem with scoring. You got a problem with rebounding. You got a problem with defense. And then you needed a second scorer when James is on a bench. But that's what Chris Paul gives you. To this day, I hear people, what can they do before the trade deadline? What can they do? I mean, it's pretty damn skippy right now. Let's not look to break things up that are working just to make changes. There's two things I don't believe in. Just collecting talent and thinking it's automatically going to work, because it really is about building the right team. Remember those teams with Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton? And that was a really well-built team. Mm-hmm. They didn't have superstars.
They had none.
They had a bunch of good players who had roles.
Yeah, but that was the last time that's happened, though.
Well, San Antonio has had some of that,
too,
though.
But they've always had a great, great player.
They always had Tim Duncan. But even when Duncan got older, you know, Kawhi, but everyone knows their role, though. Yeah. They still play roles. Carmelo would not have added anything. Like, you can't just outscore Golden State and think you're just going to out Golden State them. That's like trying to out-Patriot the Patriots.
Yeah, but Paul George is a guy that you would think, okay, I could see where it didn't work with Melo. That's fine.
Paul George to the Rockets might have worked.
But again, I would think that at some point Oklahoma City's going to get it. At some point they're going to get it.
They'll play better, but as far as the lead dog thing, Russell should be the lead dog on the team.
He's the player on that team.
I don't think James is the lead dog. James is still the lead dog here.
So Charles Barkley took a subservient role year one when it was their big three, and he just said, I'm just going to rebound, guys. But then eventually his personality flared up, and he and Clyde had their beef, and they couldn't all coexist.
A lot of that was off the court, though.
Yeah.
About Clyde. Let's get...
And then whenever you get the ball, and you make... And I've always said this, Bill... Layups are layups, but dunks are dunks. What? Thanks, Clyde.
Clyde, I was watching the game last night, and DeMarcus Cousins.
Clydeisms are so
tight.
It
was DeMarcus Cousins, and I think Trevor Ariza got into a little scuffle. Trevor Ariza fouled him, and then he continued to foul him. And he goes, well, that was a continuation of a hard foul by Trevor Ariza, so I kind of understand why Cousins reacted that way. And then the ref just gave Cousins a technical, as opposed to giving them a double technical. Because Clyde goes, I think they should have been a double technical. Oh, Oh, Cousins just got the technical? That's a good call by the refs. What? You just told me that Trevor Ariza was at fault and they should have been double technicals. Now, what? What, Clyde?
Let's get anonymous caller on a mobile here on the show.
I think it's a real anonymous caller.
He wants to be anonymous, and that's fine. You could have just make up a name. Like, hey, let's call you Joe, okay, Joe?
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the concussion talk you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a former D1 player for a major SEC school, and I can tell you that the concussion tent is a joke. I can tell you that the paying attention to concussions and the spotters, they're a joke. I have had, counting now, 7 concussions while playing, and every single time I was being checked, I was asked, "Can you fake it? Can you get on the field?" Or I was asked silly questions to take up time, just so it looked like I was being evaluated.
Can I ask you how long ago? Can I ask you how long ago that was, Joe?
I graduated 3 years ago.
Mm.
Oh, so relatively recently.
But then. This is—I think we're in a different place even from 3 years ago.
Well, the NFL for sure.
The NFL is.
Now SEC football.
Maybe not.
It's whatever.
Not
it takes.
So much. Not so much.
No, I totally believe everything you're saying. I do think it's a little different with the NFL, just because they have had massive egg on their face about. The way that they treated the concussion stuff, and but it doesn't. You brought this up the other day, John. It doesn't really float into college. No one talks about colleges or high schools, and obviously this is where that kind of stuff can start for players. Is by not. Were you upset that they treated you like? Did you think you should have, or were you trying to get back on the field, or how did you handle it?
I'd say that in the beginning, I was, you know, raring to get on the field, and I was in on it, if you want to put it that way. I was, you know, okay, let's go, I'm fine, or, you know, give me some smelling salts, I'm good. And then after a while, I started noticing how was it affecting me off the field, and I felt pressure, like I was going to lose my scholarship, or like I was going to be off the team, or get no field time. And I was being lied to by people telling me, "Oh, you're going to go in this round and you're going to do this and that, but it'll all be ruined." You know, just a lot of pressure. And then I actually eventually just walked away from the team.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard about people having fear of losing scholarships and doing, you know, I mean, that's too bad. This is, I think it's pretty serious. If you're dealing with head trauma and head issues and concussions, you can't. I mean, stacking concussions is what does all the damage, they say.
That's pretty. I've got a coach friend who said, "Nah, this is bull. They don't do that." You never know. I don't know.
In the SEC?
In the SEC, I don't know. SEC, here's 1,000. Get back in the game. I can believe that. I would believe that of the SEC.
It's kind of mess. Joe sounds like he went to Vanderbilt. What's that supposed to mean?
What? Because
I don't know what that even means.
Why is that, Del? Why do you think? Why do you think they think he went to Vanderbilt?
I was initially going to say because he cares about stuff other than football.
Why are you blowing him up when he's trying to have his breakfast?
I know,
clearly?
He's trying to eat.
He asked me.
Want to eat?
He asked me.
I do. Because I like that. Oh, you always talk about us eating on the air, and here's you.
Well, I wasn't on the air.
That's, well, you are on
eating,
the air.
But you asked me a question.
Oh, no. You're on the air. All right, 731 ESPN 97.5. We got to talk about this kid that went viral this weekend. I'm sure you guys mentioned
well,
it.
Well, we did. We was like, man, this kid, you know,
and
the
then we
got to
talk about his mom, too.
Oh, yeah.
That
took a turn.
That changes
that
things.
That took a turn yesterday quickly, didn't
but
it?
Isn't that the internet?
Mom, how come on? Like, oh, this kid, man, he's getting bullied. This is wrong. We spent a segment talking about that.
Yeah, well,
and then
now his mom. Now his mom.
And then Shives is like, hey, look at these pictures. Like, what?
Let's talk right now, though, about Coors Light. Listen, I am not going to put... Listen, you, there's blame. Yeah, I was sick. I'm not putting any of it on Coors Light. Actually, Coors Light will kill all the germs in your body. It always does. I didn't have enough Coors Lights, I think, this weekend. And that's why I am sick. So, yesterday, how about this? at the underscore Jose, sends me a tweet of on the golf course with a Coors Light can. This is the most cruel and unusual punishment ever. He knew. I know he knew. He wasn't Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien didn't know about the video. The Jose knew I was sick and couldn't go out and enjoy the weather and enjoy the golf course and enjoy the Coors Light. That's ridiculous. I mean, that was the meanest thing that I've gotten in a long time. That was bullying, if you want to know the truth, Jose. That was bullying me. And we can't have it. If someone can't have a Coors Light for some reason, then don't bully. Please, America, don't bully someone who can't have a Coors Light because they were sick. That's just cruel. Get to at Coors Light. Follow them on Twitter. At Coors Light, they got you can download the app at Coors Light XP and have live the Coors Light life. Coors Light, climb on, brother.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Raheel, and Major League Rugby is here in...
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, Keaton Jones, is that his name?
Yep.
Keaton Jones. A little kid. It was heart-wrenching. Him talking about being bullied at school. Went viral. Dana White says he's going to bring him out to a UFC fight. I can't even imagine. The school, as soon as the school sees this, that they're going to, I would imagine, there's going to be an initiative at his school. Anybody touch the bullying has to stop at his school. I mean, it's a heart-wrenching video. The kid crying to his mom about how they poured milk on him and they just bully him every day, and kids who aren't like everybody else and all this stuff. Horrible. And it went viral. I don't know how many retweets did this kid get. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, the kid didn't get it. The mom did.
Yeah, the mom sent the video out.
Yeah,
the mom. But it was the kid. It was the story of the kid.
Yeah. But the mom, the point is, I think it was on Facebook. It got plenty of shares.
Yeah.
And if you go viral, here's what the internet does now. Mm. They say, I'm going to find out all about this person so I can find some dirt. They don't do it for feel-good purposes. They go try to find dirt. And it doesn't matter who you are. Remember Ken Bone? I've got a question about the energy. Yes. And then everyone's looking at, he was liking porn stars. He's got this. Remember how everyone tried to snitch out?
Doesn't Ken Bone look like he likes porn stars?
It wasn't huge surprises.
No.
And everyone tried to snitch him out for his internet history or whatever. Yeah. You know, they're looking.
Well, what about the girl who claimed, I forget, it was a recent, what was the reporter?
Jordan Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she had some racist stuff going on where her dad was telling racist jokes, and it was so funny.
Yeah, she's like, yeah. That's what they're going to do.
The female's talking about routes. That's right.
They're going to go down your Twitter, Instagram.
See, I can't ever say anything that's heart-wrenching to anyone because they'll go through my Twitter.
You just can't go viral. You just, that's Raheel's thing. Never go viral.
Never go viral.
The internet's going to dig you out and find anything you've ever said or done.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're the victim. If you are perceived as a victim.
Right.
Oh, they'll just try to flip the narrative on you.
Yeah.
And the kid really is a victim. But here's the thing. His mom, they started scouring her Facebook. And his mom there are pictures of them with like holding an American flag and a Confederate flag.
Yeah.
There's a couple of Confederate flag
shots. Right, all the kids.
And
this is a perfect Confederate flag family.
I mean, this picture looks so stereotypical.
Perfect. The kids,
no
the boys
on.
Don't have any shirts on. They're on a porch just looks like it's really down south, way deep in Georgia or Mississippi. It doesn't matter where.
It's Tennessee, I think.
It's the same
thing.
It
doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. And then there's another one with the Confederate flag with dude looks like he holds Confederate flags all the time. And maybe that's the mom standing next to her. And then she stands for the flag. She stands for the flag. She's not going. She's not having any of this NFL BS.
The Confederate flag or the United States flag?
U.S. flag.
Because the Confederate flag is one that means you. It's about sedition, right? And you were an enemy of the United States at one point, correct? If you love the Confederate flag. Wasn't there a whole war
right.
about that?
Yeah, we're not down with the U.S.
So you can be loyal to both flags?
Apparently you can. Now you can.
Huh.
Because
you rep two flags, right? The green and orange U?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't rep a flag. I'm not going to put... You know what? There's no Miami Hurricanes Day. I'm not going to put a flag in my front yard.
Okay, let's say you had one flagpole. You had your American flag and your U flag. Which one is above which?
First of all, I would never have a flagpole anywhere in my
flags
front yard.
Of colleges is
that's a thing.
You see that a lot though.
But it's not my thing. I know what you're talking about. When LSU wins a game, people in my neighborhood put out an LSU flag. When OU wins, I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, we had an LSU flag in our front yard on the tree. Oh, we had one.
Yeah, a lot of people
above your American flag?
No. We didn't have an American flag. We just had the LSU flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Tigers.
Because we got our priorities, okay?
But that's college football, not a whole different country in a war.
It is a war. In the SEC, it is, okay? Because we'll put kids back out there with concussions.
But he played at Vanderbilt. That doesn't count.
We just did find that out.
He played at Vanderbilt. That don't count.
This is 2017. It's time to shame. It's time to Confederate flag shame if you're the victim, right? That's what we found out?
Well, the mom isn't the victim, so she's being shamed, correct?
Even still, what about the reporter, the cam reporter? She was the victim, and she was being shamed?
That's true.
I mean, because we cannot have any sympathy for anybody
in
2017.
Not if you said anything remotely
The mom
offensive.
Is not. I don't agree with anything that the mom stands for. If she stands for what we assume she stands for when you have when you're still rocking that, but
Lance heritage, not hate. Okay?
I got it. I like that we have a checkpoint. We have a rallying point there behind the glass.
Remember heritage, not hate.
Heritage, not hate. But if the kid's getting bullied, he's the kid's getting bullied.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, the UFC fight, that's going to dry up.
Yeah.
Going on Ellen, ain't going to be no more Ellen.
No.
There's not going to be Saturday Night Live with Michael Che and Colin Jost. That's not happening.
Well, and Sean offered to take him to the USC Ohio State game, the Cotton Bowl. He offered the kid to take him, Sean Salisbury. No, that's not going to happen now.
Not happening?
I don't know.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, if you're down with the Confederate flag, maybe.
You think Sean wouldn't take him?
I don't know. But mom just destroyed all that. That kid could be a national treasure going all around the world.
He was literally going to be the kid that. He was going to be a star. He was going to be famous at his school.
Not so much anymore. Not there, though. Huh? He's still a star. Look, they got a Confederate flag.
Yeah. He'll still be a star locally because all the people took up his cause and everything.
And he needs
to save old tweets that were very positive and pro. Like, remember this time when I took a screenshot of when T.I. said something nice about me. The rapper T.I. said something nice.
Well, don't forget that public school, everybody's down with the Confederate flag.
Oh, I can't just say that
in
for
Tennessee?
Sure, John.
You don't know
that for sure, do you?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'm just going to assume that we're okay. All right, CJ and Chris, we get you guys in on the other side. We got to get Mark Klein from Klein's. You don't want to call him? You want to move that? Let's talk about Renter's Warehouse then. Let's talk about Renter's Warehouse.
They're
here.
The best, aren't they? Did I ever tell you that when I was looking at moving? I was looking at moving, and it was back in 2014, and we decided not to. And then I called Renter's Warehouse, and I said, hey, if I had decided to rent my house instead of sell it, because I know what the market looks like selling. I have no idea how much stuff rents for.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Richard Drake, and they ran their analysis, and they came back with a number. I was like, what? I said, oh, yeah. And then he told me, I said, yeah, but I bet it's not as good for, like, outlying the Kingwood area and in Pearland. He goes, no. Those places are like foolproof because people who want to live in the city, if they want a bigger house, if the economics go down, they'll move out to bigger houses out in the suburbs. It's like foolproof having those kind of houses. And he said, if you live in the city right now, it's going great as well.
Well, the key is, I mean, listen, if you're in a good school district, if your house is in good shape, and by the way, square footage matters. You don't have to have a huge. By the way, you don't have to have a huge house for it to rent for a bunch. A lot of people don't want all that space. Listen, every instance is different. And Renter's Warehouse is going to get you paid on this deal. So all you got to do is find out for yourself instead of selling. If your house is on the market, like Craig here, it took him a year and a half to sell his house in Katy when he could have rented it on an average of 17 days. That's what's going on right now at Renter's Warehouse. All you got to do is get and let the other people pay off your mortgage. That's how you make money and you still have the property. All you got to do is call 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Last night, the Rockets won at home against the Pelicans. Got off to, well, they were down in the fourth quarter.
He didn't let Dell play his thing.
Oh, yeah. ESPN 97.5, the bitch, John and Lance.
Speaking of which.
Actually, I had sound from one MMA fighter, Joe Schilling, who said he was going to invite Keaton Jones, the kid we were talking about earlier. By the way, if you haven't seen that video, it's on our Facebook page right now.
It's also on ESPN975.com.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
And Justin Verlander and Kate Upton wedding pictures.
Oh, that's nice. But
if you're into that kind of thing.
Into that sort of stuff. But the MMA fighter invited Keaton to a Bellator event, and he claims that that his mom just wanted Christmas money.
Really?
Yes.
She said, nah, we don't want to go to the fight, just send us money?
Yes, but if Lance hadn't, you know, interrupted, we would have had that sound. But
oh,
I don't believe that sound exists. I think he just said that.
No, it's right here. I'm looking at it right now.
The Keaton kid bullied Tennessee into not hiring Greg Schiano? I don't know that. No. I don't think the Keaton kid is a bully. I think he got bullied. Chris wants to talk on the radio. Said we'd get him in here. Hey, Chris.
All right, so I listen to ESPN on the way to drop the kids off to school in the morning, and my 11-year-old was like, who are these guys? They're not Mike and Mike. I like them better. They sound like they're having fun. I was like, yeah, all right, cool. I'll let them know.
How old's your son?
He's 11?
11.
How long has he been? Is he follow sports close? Is that how you listen to sports talk with you? That's how I got my start, was started listening to sports talk with my dad when I was like 8, 9 years old, I think, is when I got into it.
Whenever we're anywhere, he's always like, hey, I'm gonna ask you in the morning how this game ended. Just look it up for me. Like, all right, cool. Just remind me.
That's the best feeling in the world. Where they want to.
When he cares. What did the Rockets do last night, Dad?
Yeah, when I had snacks, asked me. You know, exactly. I made him stay up. Well, he was kind of the good luck, but he wanted to stay. I let him stay up for all of Game 5. It was a school night, and I was just like, for the World Series, I just said, you know what? You can sleep when you're dead.
He stayed up and watched those. He was tired the next day, but he dealt with it.
You had to.
Yeah.
That's good parenting.
Y'all are doing all right. I can't complain.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that, Chris.
That's the nicest compliment we got. Tell your son we said what's up.
Y'all are doing all right.
He can call in and talk. You know what? And when you get a chance before you drop him off, let him call in one time, and we'll talk some Rockets or whatever sport he wants with him.
All right, Chris, we appreciate it. Y'all are doing all right. I can't complain.
By the way, speaking of Rockets, you know, James had 6 steals. He had a huge steal yesterday. Yeah. It was 127-121, and he grabbed it. He had 6 steals, 26 points, and 17 assists yesterday. I mean, that's just one of the guys who was one of the stars. But Clint Capella, what he did against – I knew what Chris Paul was going to do, right? You know what he's going to do. By this point, you know he's going to score. He's going to be a leader. He's going to get assists. He's not going to turn it over. Right? You know who he is, right? You know who James is. He's going to score a bunch of points. He can get you assists. We know all that. To me, the guy that is really critical to win a championship is Capella. And Capella's growth, because I wasn't sure about his growth as an offensive player, and he's getting to be a better defender as well. That, to me, is the key. I already know what Paul's going to do. That's a given. What James is going to do is generally a given until late in the playoffs. But what Capella gives you, I didn't know for sure.
More important going forward. Well, see, here's the problem. Capella, Eric Gordon. Sixth man of the year. Let's not underplay what dude brought to the table last year.
Eric's important. Yeah.
Eric's really important. But you got to keep Capella. And you know what you got to do? You're going to have to give him max. You're going to have to give him max dollars.
Well, if you do or you don't, I don't know. I mean, supposedly they're going to go after LeBron.
Well, this kind of thing, though, when you see how he's playing against Boogie. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, What the hell? You're not supposed to. He's not as skinny as he is, and his type of game. He's not supposed to beat. He is not supposed to be better than Boogie Cousins.
He beat him with energy last night, particularly late in that game, up and down the floor. New Orleans, for what I get, why they did it. They went into Boogie to try to stem the tide. He didn't convert, and as soon as a ball went up on that rim, Capella was sprinting down the opposite end. And he beat Boogie multiple times because of his energy, because of his hustle, and he got down the rim, either converted an offensive rebound into a putback or caught a lob. I think James threw 11 of his assists were to
Capella
in terms of lobs or just setting him up for dunks. Capella, his energy beat Boogie last night.
He's pretty rare in that way. Like, he moves. He's so wide open with his hips. Like, he is a really fluid mover down the court, long strides. He can beat guys up and down the court. He's got pretty good hands.
Well, and that's his game, though. He has to. I mean, he's not like he could play back to the basket against Boogie Cousins.
And that's not who they are anyway. Although he does have some ability to score from the low post. Like, I think it would be interesting if they continue to try to develop him to just see if he can, because he's shown some ability, a little jump hook. I don't think it's outrageous that the next step in the growth of Clint Capella is that he develops more of a back-to-the-basket game. It's just that they don't run that offense.
Right. Well, but if instead of James standing out top and trying to, you know, Euro step every time, they could throw it down to the low post.
But they are successful with him doing it.
No, they're okay. CJ wants to get on. Hey, CJ, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? Good morning.
Good. How you say,
man? Happy y'all on in the morning. It's great listening to y'all coming in, dropping the kids off, going to work. Really encouraged by y'all.
We appreciate it, CJ.
Appreciate it.
I just want to get in on the little King Jones little situation. We know he had to go fund me. We know that, as you guys were pointing to, people are going to go and investigate. Some people investigate for the right reason. Some people investigate for the wrong reason. And then more and more information is going to come out in, you know, we are to, you know, basically find out what's right and what's wrong. Now, what we hold factual or opinionated. Is you're going to play the audio for the UFC fighter. Then it's some actual screenshots of an email exchange back and forth with the mother. It just kind of seems like, you know, they the situation, of course, overall, nobody goes for bullying. I'm a pretty big guy myself. I'm not one to go for bullying. I despise it. But I'm also very against people that use that victimizing feeling. They're saying that they're a victim when they're actually the ones that are doing the bullying, and they're correct. Now, that's the next phase of the information that's coming out, that he wasn't being bullied. He was corrected for actually making a racial slur towards some other kids. And then comes back and she shows us a video of him reacting to that.
Well, how do you know that's? You said that's kind of next.
That's the next phase of screenshots and reports that's coming out. You guys understand?
Okay,
what I'm
well, no, but
now, I'm not.
Yeah, screenshots is one thing, but this sounds like this had been a consistent issue. So that's why I wonder. I mean, I'm not there. I don't know. I just saw a video, so I don't know. But just because somebody says something and there's a screenshot, like, well, if it's a screenshot of something he said, but he seems kind of young. Well, I say kind of young to be on social media.
The screenshot's for the mother. The mother went, like, kind of like with the UFC, the MMA fighter, of them going out and saying stuff, and they're like, okay, let's help them. Let's bring them out here. Let's talk to them and stuff. She's like, no, just send money. You know, Christmas coming up, I was going to get them gifts.
Yeah, I don't think to where
it seems like it's more so, okay, you went viral, now we're just going to try to cash in, and not let's try to help or better the situation if this is actually happening the way that you're saying it is happening. Because I have two children, and I'm not going to let them be bullied, and I don't want them bullying anybody else. And if I put out a video with them expressing themselves, the first and only thing I'm not going to do is accept money or gifts. I don't want that. Now, I want everybody to be aware. And the reason why I speak on that is because she's tagging and telling other people to send this out to these people, to these athletes, to these people here, just to
not for awareness, but more so for money.
Well, we're going to find.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, we'll find all that. Yeah. That's here's what I don't want to do. I want to make sure, as because you know this as a dad too. I don't want to blame the kid for sins of the mother or sins of the father. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if the kid's getting bullied, and it sounds like this was going on for a while. What his mother does or whatever, that's for me irrelevant to the kid, but I understand the situation is such that you're not all these invitations are going to dry up now.
Well,
and
yeah.
If the mom's out there asking for, just send me some money.
Well,
like,
but
that's
here's
not a great
deal.
Look.
It's 2017. It's a cash grab. Kid went viral. How many retweets?
And then, like,
just send money. That's all I want. Okay.
What are you laughing about, Dell? Because he's right.
It's so succinct and correct.
This feels like an episode of the Black Mirror, yeah. Where like if you get a certain amount of retweets, a kid gets $10,000.
Yes. Okay. What about the?
Have you seen the Black Mirror? By the way,
no.
Dell, I know you have, right?
Yeah, it's insane. And the new season's
Netflix
been previewed already.
Netflix, Black Mirror, and the seasons aren't very long. Like the first season's three episodes, four episodes.
Not a lot.
You've got to see this. It's like a new hiked up version of the Twilight Zone.
And it features a lot of people you've seen in other stuff, but they because of the hype of Black Mirror, they've all come together and just to appear in like one episode apiece. So you'll see like a fake, "Oh, I've seen her in this."
You don't know who it is, like, "I recognize her. I recognize him." But you really need to go, you really need to watch Black Mirror. This show is fantastic.
Really?
The very first episode with the pig?
Love the pig. I love when there's a pig in a story.
You're not going to love this pig.
I will.
Are you? I'll tell you. Hold on. Watch this, America. Watch this. Here, turn your mic off real quick. Make sure the mic's off. On TV.
Okay. I don't like this pig story.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I don't like that pig story. Man, dude. Of course, listen, everybody just has their hand out, dude. That's all there is to it. Concussions in the NFL, we got to stop that because we had to pay the players $1 billion.
John, what if?
There's no, it's all about
John,
pay me.
What if,
pay
that
me,
lady,
Rick.
What if Keaton Jones's mom just said this? She said, "Listen, don't take my son to the UFC, but can you send me some diamond earrings or diamond necklace?"
Well, then I would think, here's the deal. The way to go about that is to call Mark Klein. Klein's Fine Jewelers.
Thanks,
that's all you got to do. Hey, this holiday season, you need Klein. This is the deal. You're going to go to Mark Klein's. You are going to, look, 5868 Westheimer. You are going to see the best in jewelry. And if you don't see something that you like, that's okay. Because he's a manufacturer. You can bring him in a picture. He will make it right there. He can, he does, and that's what he does. He's got the little elves in the, and I'm not even joking. He's got the little elves in the back that are making jewelry every single day. But you're going to find something. He's got a great display case of all the stuff that you could possibly want. But you're going to get a better deal on diamonds. How about turning in something that you bought from him before or from somewhere else? It doesn't matter where you got it from. Mark Klein will take it in. He will give you money for it. And actually, what did you pay for it when you bought it last time? He's going to give you that price. So you're looking for the best way to go about it this holiday season. If you want to upgrade on something, she says, "Listen, I love my ring, but I want to get a better ring." Do that this holiday season. 832-316-1388. Text him a picture of something that you're looking for at 832-316-1388. He can make it for you, and he'll have it ready for the Christmas party. We got the Christmas party. It's going to be December 22nd, Friday. You're taking off of work anyway. Come see us at Klein's Fine Jeweler, 5868 Westheimer. It's KleinsJewelry.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.